You're listening to Vatican Radio. Earlier this week, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry described the violent persecution of minorities by the so-called Islamic State as genocide. Kerry's statement came in the wake of a resolution of the U.S. House of Representatives explicitly condemning the IS atrocities against Christians and other religious and ethnic minorities in Iraq and Syria as genocide. The principal architect of the House resolution, Representative Jeff Fortenberry of Nebraska, told Vatican Radio's Chris Altieri, "The recognition of the atrocities as genocide has profound symbolic significance, the practical consequences of which are not to be discounted."
The resolution that passed unanimously in the House at the beginning of the week and was followed Thursday by a naming explicitly by the part of the Secretary of State as genocide, the atrocities being committed by the so-called Islamic State, is significant symbolically. Can you talk with us a little bit about its significance, both symbolically and perhaps some of the practical repercussions of these developments?
Well, sure. First of all, it was very important that the House of Representatives spoke with a unanimous voice in a transpartisan manner, that this is not only an attack and a grave injustice to the people who are suffering so much, it's an assault on human dignity and the principles of civilization itself. This is one of the reasons that I believe that this transcended the political divides that often stymie any type of constructive outcome in Congress. The resolution, I think, was also a part of helping create momentum for the State Department to make the right determination that what has happened to Christians, Yazidis, Shia Muslim minorities, and other persons, other faith communities, is inconsistent with the principles of how to build out international tranquility, and it violates the sacred space of religious freedom and human dignity. So I was pleased that now the United States has spoken in full with moral clarity and with the full weight and authority of the government. In terms of practical outcomes, hopefully this raises international consciousness as to the plight of Christian Yazidis and others, ancient faith traditions who once were part of the rich and diverse tapestry of Middle East ancient peoples. It also creates the preconditions for the potential security settlement that ultimately what must come in the Middle East that reintegrates, again, Christian Yazidis and others back into their ancestral homelands. From my perspective as well, creating the opportunity for safe zones, safe havens in northern Iraq and northern Syria should be undertaken. And it also has certain implications for prioritization in migration cases when that's necessary.
Real briefly, insofar as it's possible to give a brief answer to this, this is not the sort of thing that happens in a vacuum. And as you mentioned, in a politically charged and polarized context like that, which we're currently living in the United States, a 398-0 vote, or 393, I guess it was, wasn't it? Is unusual, to say the least. That on its own would raise eyebrows and make headlines, one would hope. But this didn't happen in a vacuum. Can you talk with us a little bit about the process?
Yes, as you recall, a year and a half ago, the Yazidi community, mostly women and children, were trapped on Mount Sinjar. I represent the largest Yazidi community in America. These were persons who came to the United States who had served as military translators, standing side by side with our troops at the height of the Iraq War. And under special provisions in U.S. law, they were given citizenship. They came to my office. I'd known this community for many years, pleading passionately, on the verge of tears, angry, and I don't blame them for their anger. Please, Congressman, do something, act. The United States subsequently led the airstrikes that saved the persons who had fled to Mount Sinjar, and that was the beginning of the start of a coalition to try to contain ISIL. That, along with the day-by-day reports of the horrific beheadings, crucifixions, immolations of Christians and others, has really, I think, elevated not only the consciousness of many members of Congress, but hopefully the international community. And this is very important because Pope Francis himself called this a scandal of silence. There has been a scandal of indifference to what has happened to the Christians and Yazidis and others, and they must be a part of the ongoing policy discussion as to when there hopefully is some type of security settlement and economic and political settlement in the Middle East, that these ancient traditions are reintegrated back into their homeland, and in the meanwhile, given forms of protection so that they can survive. The future of the Middle East, its tranquility and order, really is at stake. And if there is a vacuum left without these ancient traditions, it's not only unjust to them, but it will not create the proper conditions for the ongoing stability of that region.